outlook. We're all going to have the same map that we're reading from. By the way, we're going to need some help after the service moving some chairs around in here. If I could get five or six guys, just raise your hand if you can stay and help afterwards. And there's one, there's two, there's three, four, five, six. Okay, sold. $6. Okay, very good. Thank you. And it should take just a few minutes, but we need your help after that to get everything set up for junior for BBS. All right. How do you know you're healthy? One at a time. You're above the ground. That's, yeah. I work at the hospital. I can tell you that's not true. What are some signs of health? What's that? Good blood count. I poke my finger every morning. I got blood. I know I'm doing good. What else? You can walk. We're kind of going for lowest common denominator here, aren't we? You can still breathe. This isn't going the way that I thought it would go. Emma. You can run without breathing heavy. That's a good one. You're eating healthy food. You had a lot of energy. Notice these are all young people. How about Nancy? Okay, you have peace, right? What else? No one's going to mention sugar levels or cholesterol levels or your heart condition or anything like that. You can go to your doctor and you can have a bunch of tests and he can tell you how healthy you are by that. Well, we're going to talk about health this morning. What are some of the, you know, you can tell when you're a healthy person by some factors that are well known that you can practice and, you know, put into practice and you know that you're healthy. I was tempted to ask how many of you think you're healthy this morning, but we don't want to get into that. It's public affirmations here. But, you know, health is really kind of a nebulous kind of thing. You know, you're as healthy as you feel. Some of you might be 60, 70, 80 years old and you feel healthy. Some of you might be 20, 30 years old and you don't feel so healthy. It's kind of a nebulous thing. But let's talk about a healthy church. How do you know when a church is healthy? What happens in a healthy church? It grows. I'm sorry? People get along. What else? What else? We've been talking about this. They're inviting, they're warm, they're friendly, they're outgoing. Okay, anything else? They help each other in need. Is that what you said? When they're in need, okay. Coffee and cookies, that's right. Well, we're so healthy it hurts then. You share your life with others. Growth of the church. Carolyn? Finances go up, they're steady, right. What else? Anything else? Karen? Pray for others. There are some very concrete things that you can use to measure the health of a church. And what we're trying to do, what we're talking about, is how to be healthy as a church. There's it's an American version of health, and that is if you have a big church, you're a healthy church. But that's not true. You can be a small church and you can be healthy. You can be a big church. You can be unhealthy. You can be a big church and be healthy. You know, one of the things that I've really kind of focused on in my life, especially in the last probably 6 years, 5 years, something like that, is my physical health. I turned 50 5 years ago. My doctor had a frank and earnest talk with me. All of that kind of stuff. And I was really frustrated because I was focusing on numbers. I was focusing, okay, what do I weigh today? I would run downstairs and weigh myself, get depressed, you know, the whole nine yards. And I would check my sugar levels. After a while, I just stopped checking my sugar levels because of all that kind of stuff. And finally, I decided about 5 or 6 years ago, I decided I was going to do that differently. What I decided to do was to focus on those healthy habits and accomplish those and not even worry about the numbers. I decided to look at my diet, what I was eating, how I was eating, how often I was eating. I decided to look at exercise. That's been a huge difference in my life. But I decided that I was going to do the things that led to health and just trust God for the rest. That works in a church setting also. We need to focus on what healthy churches, healthy Christians do, and let God take care of the rest. We have so many kind of metrics that we have. You know, how many did we have this Sunday? How many were last Sunday? Are we going up? Are we going down? You know, that can turn into almost an idol in itself. Because frankly, we could really grow the church with some unhealthy things. We could tape $20 bills to the bottom of the chair, you know, seven chairs, advertise that this Sunday, if you sit in the blessed chair, not lucky because we're a church, if you sit in a blessed chair, you can go home with $20. We would probably pack the place out. But that's not a healthy way to grow a church. We need to grow the church in healthy habits. So we're gonna talk about what it takes to grow a healthy church. And before we do that, we're going to talk about our mission statement and our vision statement. We're going to do that next week. We're going to talk about how to find your spiritual gifts, because that's a vital part of being a healthy Christian, is understanding what your spiritual gifts are and how to put them into practice. But North Point's vision statement says this. Let's read it together, okay? North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people who share God's love by building relationships and living a life that pleases God. Those are the core values that we have. Those are those things that we hold dear. These are the things that we're going to practice as a church in order to be healthy. Our vision statement says this. Let's read that together. North Point is becoming a group of spiritually strong believers, learning God's Word, meeting needs in our community, and loving unconditionally. Those are the outgrowths of those healthy things that we do. In other words, if we do the first set of things that we read, then the result will be, the outcome is to be the second group of things that we read together. Now, we're asking you to be healthy Christians. You know, we talk about a healthy church, but in reality, it comes down to being healthy Christians. We need to practice those things in each one of our lives in order for the church to be healthy, because, get this, you are the church. The church is you. It's not the building. It's not me. It's not the leadership staff, the pastors of the church. It is you that are the church of Jesus Christ here at North Point Assembly of God. Now, one of the things that we promise to do for you is we promise to be healthy pastors. Because without healthy leadership, you cannot have a healthy church. Because, you know, the body follows the head. If the head is sick, the body is sick. It affects the whole body. And so we're making a few promises. And I've gone over this with our pastors, so they all know what I'm going to say this morning. It's not a surprise to them. I'm not springing anything new on them. But we promise that we're going to be spiritually healthy. We promise that we're going to engage in daily prayer. We're going to read the Word daily. We're going to study the Word daily. We're going to practice communion with God. That is the first priority as pastors of this church that we have as staff members here at the church, that we are going to maintain a spiritual health. And frankly, that's the most important thing that we can do, because when your spiritual health goes, the church goes downhill. Your spiritual life goes downhill. I cannot lead except from the overflow of my life. I can't pour out into you something that I don't have, or that Pastor Matt doesn't have, or Pastor Mike doesn't have, or Pastor Juanita doesn't have. We've got to be able to give out from what we have inside of us. So we pledge to be spiritually healthy. We pledge to be relationally healthy, doing the things that lead to healthy marriages. We're going to work on our marriages. We're going to maintain our relationship with our spouses and make sure that they are a priority in our lives. One of the great downfalls, and something that I've seen too many times in the ministry, are pastors that have given all of their life to the church and they've lost their family. One day they wake up and look across the table and all their kids are gone, and their wife, and they look at their wife or they look at their husband, and they discover that they're sitting across from a stranger because they haven't nurtured that relationship. There's a real danger of pastors becoming so involved in the church that it turns their kids off. They look at the church as something that stole their father from them, and they don't want anything to do with it anymore. We're determined that that's not going to happen. We're going to make sure that we give our relationships that kind of health that they need, and our families, and all of that stuff that goes with it. If I lose my family, if I lose my marriage, I've lost my ministry. Because that is vitally a vital part of my spiritual life and of my life here at the church. We promise to be physically healthy. I think I've told you a little bit about that in my life. And some of the struggles that I have in that. I come from a family of stout people. We may not be fast, we're built for comfort, not speed. And we can get pretty comfortable if we're not careful. You know, I post on my Facebook, I've had people ask me why I do this, but I post on my Facebook whenever I take a walk. And I do that, frankly, for you. Because I want to be accountable to you. I want you to know that I'm trying to take care of my body. It may not always look like it. I did a memorial service for a dear friend of mine yesterday. That's a whole other story. A great friend from high school that passed away too young. But they videotaped it, and I didn't know they videotaped it, and they put it on the internet, and I didn't know they put it on the internet. But I looked at that, and I said, all that walking for that? Oh, my goodness. But then I had to remind myself, okay, it's not about numbers, it's not about numbers, it's not even about shapes. But we want to be physically healthy. Pastor Mike probably could be classified an athlete with all of the things that he does. I mean, the guy surfs, he free dives, you know. He's not a real big fan of team sports. Occasionally he asks me how many touchdowns the Tigers scored last week, you know, so... He's not real big on team sports, but he takes care of himself physically. Pastor Matt is a bike rider par excellence. He posts on Facebook, too, how many miles he rides. You're shooting for, what, 1,000 miles? 2,000? 1,200 miles. He's already rode 1,200 miles this summer and shooting for 2,000. You know, we're taking this seriously as a group of pastors. We want to make sure that we're physically healthy because... We believe what the Scriptures say, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we want to make sure that we take care of that. And we want to be financially healthy. We want to have our finances in order. And I'm proud to say that is a hallmark of the pastoral staff here. I don't inquire into everybody's finances, but just from the way that they live and the things that they do, I know that they're financially healthy and that they honor God with their giving and with their generosity. That's all part of that. How can we ask you to be generous and financially healthy if we're not? So those of you that think pastoring is easy, you just got a little lesson in how tough it can be. But we pledge those things for you to you, and we want to make sure that we live our lives with integrity in front of you, because a healthy pastor leads to a healthy church. It's not the only component in it, but if the pastor isn't healthy, the church can't be healthy. And so we promise that to you, that we're going to pursue those things that lead to health. But we've been talking about what leads to a healthy church. Now, what can you do? What is part of your obligation to a healthy church? And I use that word purposefully, obligation. You have an obligation. If you call this church home, if you belong to this church, if this is the body of Christ that you identify with, you have an obligation to do some things. And number one is a healthy church shares the good news. We talked about that several weeks ago. But a healthy church is looking for opportunities to share the good news. In Matthew 28:18-19, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You'll notice it doesn't say anything about getting people to make decisions. I'm not against decisions. You got to make a decision to follow Christ. But Jesus wanted the complete package from us. He wanted us to make disciples. That goes into building relationships, which is one of our core values, give, share, love, grow. We want to share our lives with other people. We need to build disciples with other people. We need to let our lives be an example of that. And we will intentionally, what that means is, we will intentionally and purposefully share the good news. We will provide opportunities for the gospel to be presented. Now, we're doing that in several ways. This, what you see up here, is one of those opportunities as a corporate entity to reach out to the community that's around us. We spent all Thursday at the mobile home park down the road there, and it was great. Dot was there. How many of you know who Dot is? Dot is a clown. May or may not be related to me. I'm not sure. But those kids just came out of the woodwork to see Dot. They either came out of the woodwork or they ran like crazy. It's just the way it is with clowns. You either love them or you hate them. And you know, they came out. We had a lion there. One of our kids dressed up like a lion and was there. We had, you know, Pastor Matt was there going crazy. He had a good time. I don't think a car went by that he didn't shout at. Kind of like a dog, you know, off the leash, you know. Here, Matt, here, here. But we registered. How many did we register, Nancy? 19 from that park right there. So this is all part of that, and you have the opportunity to be involved, whether it's serving a snack to a child or listening to a memory verse or leading a group that's there. Whatever it is, we've got opportunities for you to do that. That is a purposeful sharing of the good news. Holidays, Easter, Christmas are opportunities for us to reach out to the community and offer you an opportunity to invite people to church. Did you know that well over 80% of people who are invited to church will respond positively to that request? There's only one requirement. They have to know you. They have to know you before they'll respond to that. But the odds are in your favor for you to share this good news. You can do it. You can be a part of it. We talked about three ways that we're going to do that. First of all, a healthy Christian prays for opportunities. That should be part of your prayer life. God, open doors for me to share the good news today. Expect God to do that. There's an amazing increase in opportunities that I have to share the gospel when I pray and ask God to do it than when I don't. Because God responds to prayer. Ask God to open opportunities for you. A healthy Christian looks for opportunities to share the gospel with others. They look for those opportunities. I heard about somebody that was going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. And as they went through, they noticed that the girl that took his money had a beautiful carved cross that was hanging from her neck. And he said to her, "Hey, I really like your cross." Now, she could have just said, "Thank you." And that would have been sufficient. It would have been fine. But here's what she said. She said, "Oh, thank you. And I like the one who hung on that cross for me. And I love the one who rose from the dead for me." Now, there's a girl that's looking for opportunities. She probably put that cross on this morning with a prayer in her heart that said, "Jesus, shine through me. Give me an opportunity to tell somebody about your goodness and your graciousness." In the Bible, in Colossians 4:5, it says, "Live wisely among those who are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity." Probably all of us have at least one opportunity a day when someone asks us a question, or we ask someone a question, "How you doing?" You know, that's one of those questions that people really don't want the answer to. "How you doing?" "Well, I'll tell you, I'm doing great. And let me tell you why I'm doing great. Because Jesus loves me, and He loves you too, and He has a plan for your life, and He wants to fill you with His Spirit." "Oh. Well, that really wasn't what I was going for, but thanks anyway." But who knows what opportunities can open up just from those little moments that we have with others that are opening the door for us. And finally, healthy Christians create opportunities. You see, we probably do all right with, you know, these other two: pray for opportunities and make the most of opportunities, look for opportunities. But how many of you actually create opportunities? You know, Alex and his wife have done something that we're going to hear more about a little later on. But they decided that they wanted to be part of their community. And you know, neighborhoods are not like they were back in the 50s anymore. You know, we kind of cocoon in our houses and we put fences up and we really don't want to know our neighbors because that means that we're responsible, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so most of us probably don't know very well beyond maybe even the name, the neighbors. But Alex and Nicole set up a block party for their community because they just wanted to get to know them. And they're going to tell us more about what happened with that. But that is creating an opportunity. The Netsleys are reaching out to their neighborhood and doing some stuff that's very exciting that we're going to be sharing with you in our missions convention about how to reach out to your community. God wants you to unleash your creative ability for evangelism, for sharing the good news. We're going to talk next week about what your spiritual gift is, but your spiritual giftings will determine where you reach out and how you reach out to other people. If your gift is hospitality, you might be the kind of person that shows the love of Christ by bringing a meal to someone that's sick or in trouble or having a difficult time or cleaning their house for them or something like that. If your gift is evangelism, you might want to, you know, you got a whole different prospect of how to do that. But we need to create opportunities for those around us to hear the gospel. That's what a healthy person does. So number one, a healthy Christian, a healthy church shares the good news. And we're going to put more and more opportunities together for you to share the good news. Did you know that this service is designed for you to invite people to come to church? Whenever I put a message together, my thought in my back of my mind is, how would someone who had never been in church before hear this? Would they understand this? Would they get it? Would it make sense to them? Because I want you to invite people that haven't been in church before or been out of church for a long time or got turned off by church or just, you know, whatever. I want them to hear the gospel in a way that makes sense to them. So number one, we share the good news. Number two, a healthy church lives together in harmony and in unity. That is the will of God for this church. It is God's will that we get along together. There are a number of reasons for it. The Bible says, Jesus said to his disciples, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you give a tithe to the church." He didn't say that. "By this all men will know you are my disciples if you love each other." That's the defining factor. This world has a real love deficit in it. In a world where everybody is out for themselves, they are looking for somebody that will live outside of the box and live for others and live for each other. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives also." I am well aware that we are asking you to make a sacrifice to share your life. American culture has fed us a line that is a lie. It says you take care of yourself first and then everybody else after that. But that's not God's way. God's way says take care of others, thinking of others as better than yourself. Wow, that's a boatload of theology there. And so we're going to be a kind of church that commits ourselves to each other. We are going to intentionally build authentic relationships with each other and those who need the love of Christ in their lives. We're going to look for people that need the love of Christ in their lives, and we're going to say, you know what? I'm going to build a relationship with that person. I'm going to make them fall in love with me. I'm going to be so kind and so sweet, they can't help but love me. Now, some of you, that may be a stretch, I understand. But it's a determination that you're going to build relationships with people. And we're going to be talking more about that as time goes on, that intentionality of living with each other and living in harmony and unity. a healthy church, well, John 17, 22 through 23, it says, I have given them, Jesus in his high priestly prayer, he's praying to the Father, and he says, I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. Think about that for a minute. Jesus is saying to the Father, you and I are one, God. We're Father and Son. How much closer can you get than that? And he's saying, that's the kind of relationship that I want them to have with each other, that they are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them as much as you love me. That's a call to commitment. That's a deep call in our lives. That's more than just showing up on Sunday morning. That's more than just singing the songs, giving your gift, listening to the service and going home. That calls for us to really love each other, to get involved in each other's lives. In 1 Corinthians 1:10 it says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united to thought and purpose. That takes a submission to each other. That means that our agenda is not nearly as important as the unity and the harmony of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, in the 20-some years that I've been here, we've never had a church split. We've never had a serious kind of division in the church. And by God's grace, we never will. Because I believe that God values harmony above our own agendas. And we are called to submit our agendas to the body of Christ so that we all get along. Most of the things that we argue about aren't all that worth arguing about anyway. I served as a leader in the district for a little while, and I will tell you, churches that got in trouble over stupid stuff. You know, what kind of toilet paper are we going to buy? One ply or two ply? Now, I realize we're talking serious business there, but, you know. Just silly stuff. That's usually how the enemy comes in and divides us, is through silly stuff that really doesn't matter. So the healthy church lives in harmony and unity. Number three, the healthy church loves God and loves others. In Mark chapter 12, a young man came to Jesus and he said, what's the greatest commandment? What should I really pay attention to? Is it the do not covet? Is the which one is the one that I really need to pay attention to? And Jesus answered this. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Now, first of all, no one would say no to that, but very few of us do it. No one would say no to that, but very few of us do it. That's deeper than we think. It means a total surrender of yourself to God Himself. My ways are not your ways, God said. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And we have to say, amen, God. That means if I disagree with you, you're right and I'm wrong. There's a lack of that in today's world. God needs to change His mind. I'm always amused when people say things like, well, the church has to get with the times. If it does, it's no longer the church. It's just a social club. Because that means that God changed His mind. And I don't know if I want to serve a God that changes His mind. Sometimes I think I do, but I really don't. And so we need to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our spirit. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, and the second is equal to it. Equal to it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. What an amazing command that God gives to us to love the people around us. And then he launches into the story of the Good Samaritan. Who's my neighbor? Anybody that has a need. That's the moral of the story of the Good Samaritan. Anybody that's in need is your neighbor. That's why we have in our core values that we will meet the needs of our community. That is so important. If we don't meet needs in our community to the best of our ability, we're really not showing the love of Christ. And there's a needy community that's out there. There's a needy community that's out there that needs our love and our support. You see, in 1 John 4:7, it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God, and anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You see, we're going to dedicate ourselves to fulfilling the great commandment to love God and love others. We will love our community by meeting the needs of our neighbors. We're beginning to discover that here at North Point. And we said before, when we talked about this in a fuller sermon, we said we're not going to duplicate what other people are doing well. In other words, I don't really see a need for a food pantry for our church when there are so many food pantries in the community that are doing it well. We can contribute to their food pantry and support them and give them the support that they need because they're doing a better job. But there are things that only we can do. There are things that only North Point is called to do that we need to discover and we need to put into practice. We need to meet the needs of our community. And when that happens is when people begin to get a passion for something. I believe that right here in this church, we have the skill sets and the abilities and the giftings to meet the needs in our community. But you need to discover what those things are and put them into practice. Maybe you have a burden to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're committed to reaching kids for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you need to talk to Mr. Don, our Christian Ed Director, and say, "You know what? I really feel a burden to minister to kids. How can I help? How can I get involved?" Talk to me. Talk to one of the pastors. But whatever it is that you feel a burden and a burning in your heart to do, we need to know about that. Last Sunday, somebody came to me and said, "Pastor, here's what I feel God has called me to do. How can I put that into work in our church?" We're going to have lunch next week and talk about how that ministry can take shape, how it can be fulfilled. I'm excited about it because it's the fruit of what we're preaching about here. And God wants to work through you too. So a healthy church loves God and loves others. And then fourthly, a healthy church is committed to spiritual growth. Now you're saying, I know you're saying, you didn't put these in this order before. That's okay. We talked about how these things all mix and blend in with each other, so the order really doesn't matter at all. I know that drives some of you crazy, right? It's got to be in order. No, it doesn't. But we're committed to spiritual growth. In Ephesians 4:11-13, it says, "Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church." The gifts to the church are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. It is the job of the pastors and the leadership of the church to help you discover what God has called you to do and where He has placed you and why He has placed you in the body of Christ and to fulfill that need that you have, that desire that you have. Why? So that we will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. What is all this about, Pastor? What are you talking about? What is the end line goal of this thing? It's for you to become mature. It's for you to become a self-sustaining kind of Christian. And I mean that in this context of community. We need each other, but you need to be a self-feeding, self-sustaining, self-motivated kind of Christian that looks for opportunities to minister, that worship God freely, that doesn't need to be called all the time and say, "Hey, where were you? Were you in church tonight? We've been missing you. How come you weren't there?" You know, all that kind of stuff. It's just people that are mature in Jesus Christ. I want a church full of mature Christians, so that we can take babies in and mature them, and they can create other spiritual babies, and we can mature them. That's the sign of a healthy church. That's how a healthy church functions and how it grows. We will take responsibility for our growth spiritually. We will take responsibility for our growth spiritually. You want to drive a pastor mad? Use this phrase: "I just wasn't being fed." Now, if you say that to me, well, first of all, if you say that about me, you're going to hurt my feelings. But every once in a while, I have somebody from another church come to me and say, "Hey, we're thinking about coming to North Point. We're just not being fed." And my hackles go up a little bit. You know, I used to say, "Oh, goody, we can get another one." But that's not so true anymore, because I discovered something about people. If they're not happy under another person's ministry, they probably won't be happy under my ministry either. And, you know, I ask him, oh, isn't he preaching from the Word? Well, yeah, he uses the Bible when he preaches. Well, that's God's Word. How can you not be fed from God's Word? How can that be? And usually that ends the conversation right there when, you know, they see they're not getting anywhere with me. We got to take responsibility for our own spiritual growth. Now listen, I'm here to help you. Oh, there it goes. I'm here to help you grow spiritually. That's my job. That's my duty. But we want you to be mature so that when you get up in the morning, you say, the first thing that you say is, wow, I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to read the Word. I can't, you know, that you have that discipline in your life, that you don't need somebody motivating you all the time to grow in the Lord, but you're able to do that on your own because you're dedicated to God. So we're taking responsibility for our growth spiritually by committing ourselves to prayer, study of God's Word, and by discovering and practicing my spiritual gift. Prayer, the study of God's Word, and then pulling that all together to inform your spiritual gifting so that you become an effective member of the body of Christ. That's what it's all about. We want North Point to be effective, to be invading Satan's territory, to be taking back that which was stolen, to be warriors for Christ in the spiritual realm. We're not just going to sit back and just let Satan have his way around us anymore. We're going to reach out. We're going to attack. We're going to be on the offense, because that's what Jesus Christ has called us to be. Well, let's wrap this all up. What does a healthy church look like? It's very simple. A healthy church looks like Jesus. A healthy church looks like Jesus to the people on the outside. It looks like Jesus and what He does. In Romans 12:2 it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't get sucked in by the world's values and by their qualities and what they think is important. That should have nothing to do with what we are in Jesus Christ. People aren't looking for somebody that blends in well. They're looking for somebody that's outstanding, somebody that's different, somebody that's dedicated. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's what God has for you and I. He wants to transform us right now, right today. I don't care if you've been saved 10 minutes, 10 years, or 100 years. God wants to continually transform you. He wants you to be more like Jesus when you leave this building than when you came in. He wants you to be more like Jesus tomorrow than you were today. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be His follower. He wants you to be His disciple. And that's the vision that we have for North Point Assembly of God, that we will be disciples of Jesus Christ. So when the world looks at us, they see Jesus. They don't see us anymore, but they see Jesus. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're all about. That's what God wants us to do and to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we close this service together, God, we ask that we would take upon ourselves that desire to be more like Jesus. God, we want to be in Your image. We want to reflect Your glory so much that when others see us, they see Jesus Christ and His will and His purpose in our lives. So Lord, I pray for every member of this church, for every person that calls this place home, that, Lord, you would impress upon them the importance of fulfilling the vision that we have for North Point Assembly of God. Father, we confess we're not the only church in town, but You've called us here. And You've called us to be like You. And so we commit ourselves to You in that way right now. I want us to stand together and let's sing together.